Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Well, good morning. Woohoo! I've been up at 2 and 5 because we just adopted. Woohoo! And he is a month old. His name is Braven. And he's a whole whopping 10 pounds now. He's chunking up. We're going to get the rolls. None of my other two boys had the rolls. So we're hoping for the roll, you know, you squish them. Okay. Yeah, so we are in love, and it's wonderful, but the adventure and the ride of getting here has been an interesting one and a very stretching one. And I have found that in my journey with the Lord that he really starts to prepare me for whatever season is coming up next, even though I'm completely unaware that that's what he's doing. So it might be like, I remember, you know, when Oceans was a really big song and I was singing that and, you know, it's take me deeper and further than my feet could ever wander. I'm going to go beyond the borders, you know. And then I was like slammed with something and I was like, what was I singing about going beyond the borders? I don't know. Mm-mm. So, and I'll just start to think like, oh, okay, thank you for preparing me. But also there are certain scriptures and things that, you know, just in my private devotional time that God will begin to reveal to me, and it'll be preparing me for what is coming up next in the next season. And he does the same thing with you. Whether you're aware of it or not, he's always speaking, always moving, and he wants to communicate with you, and he wants to prepare your hearts for the things that he wants to accomplish in you so that when the storms of life come, we survive, and not just survive, but we grow in them and through them, right? Because we don't get to escape them most of the time, but we get to become more like him in the midst of them. So something that he began speaking to me about was about eyes up and eyes on him. In fact, I had been studying this, and I had shared it with a friend, and in the midst of walking out this thing with adoption, there's a lot of things that are out of your control. Zero control. You have zero. So if that sounds like a great time, sign up. And so having zero control has never really been my thing. God was like, we're going to work on that. So I got this really fun opportunity to trust him when I had no control at all. And I would have said that along the way, that I would have like, if you would say, what is your faith like with the Lord, your faith walk with the Lord? Then I would have said, oh, I like walking on water with him. I like getting out of the boat and then meeting him out in the midst of the storm. And I'm not saying I like to be in the midst of storms. You know, they're not fun. I don't like them, but they seem to pop up a lot in my life. And maybe part of the reason is because when I was younger, I would go to the beach and I would stand at the waves. And one of my favorite things to play, this is going to tell you a lot about me. One of my favorite things to play with my younger brother is we would stand at the waves, and this was in North Carolina, so we had real waves. And so they would come and we would punch them. And they're like, is that all you got? You know. And then another one would come. And we're like, come on. And I'd kick it. And like, and that's kind of been like me with the enemy. Yeah. So send something and I'm like, you know, is that all you got? You know. So I've liked being the wave walker. I've liked being the step out of the boat, even though I'm terrified, and meeting God in the middle. But what has been really hard in this season is being a boat sitter, not a wave walker, a boat sitter. And what that means is there's not getting out of the boat. You're sitting in it. And you're not manning the sails, and you're not rowing. You're just sitting and being still and watching all of the uncontrollable things happen around you and trusting. And this was new for me. This was very new. And the thing that God had been speaking to me about Eyes Up and in preparing me for this season comes from Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." And I was like, wow, God, that sounds amazing. Also, in the New King James Version, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And I was like, fear, dismay, kind of sounds like the same thing. God, why are you telling me not to be afraid twice? So I looked into it. You should do that when you're reading the Bible. So I looked into it, and I looked up what dismayed means. And dismayed in the Greek is to gaze at, inspect, consider. So he's like, hey, the feelings are going to come, but don't give in to them. And you're going to see lots of crazy things happening, or the storm, or there's things that are very much out of your control. It's just a fact. But don't begin to focus so much on them that they consume you, and they are the things that have your attention. So then I keep reading. I'm like, oh, that's good, God. That's good. Okay. Isaiah 41:13 says, "I am Yahweh, your mighty God. I grip your right hand and won't let go. I whisper to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you." So I'm your faithful God. I will firmly hold you with my victorious right hand. I am your mighty God. I'm going to hold on to your right hand. So I'm a visual learner. So I'm sitting in the sunroom and I'm like, right, wait a minute. So I've asked Noah and Olivia to come here. You get to be the Lord. All right. This is Noah. And so it says that God says that he will hold us with his right hand. So yes, stretch out your right hand. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And then it says that we will hold on to him with our right hand, right? So, oh, do you see what just happened here? Woohoo! Face to face. Face to face. So I was like, wow, God, the picture that you're giving and how you want us to walk through life and face the storms of life is face to face with you, is holding on. So we have an option here, though, and what I found is, so let go of this one, thank you, is that a lot of times in my walk with the Lord, what I could find is, uh-oh, that I end up being like this, which isn't horrible, okay? I'm still holding on, still going through life with him, but what tends to happen to me in this moment is that I start getting really busy, and I start doing for the Lord, which you're like, well, that's not bad. Well, in all of my doing, I forget to actually be with him. And he's not going anywhere that whole entire time, but it's up to me to take the position of being face to face with him. So he was like, hey, we got to get back to this. We got to get back to this intimacy, to this face to face, because there's things that I want to birth in you and through you that can't be accomplished just like this. So there's dreams and desires and things that you have in your heart. There's prayers that you've been praying. There's things that God has placed there. There's battles that you're facing, and they're not going to be birthed, and they're not going to be won like this. They're birthed and they're won like this because it comes from intimacy, right? That's how we're able to celebrate Mother's Day. Children have been birthed from intimacy. So if you are longing for God to move in your life, if you're sick of being stuck in a cycle, if you're wondering where he is, if you're looking and you're facing a storm, this is the way to go about it. This is the way to get it done. And I know because I like the control, let go again, that it's nice sometimes to want to do this in our brain because we're like, God, I got it. I'm gonna do this thing. And what we can start to do is we begin leading the Lord. We're like, come on, God, let's go do this. And he's never gonna leave us, and his blessing goes with us. But he's like, hey, you want something even better? How about you let me do the leading? How about you stay face to face and you trust where I'm going? Yeah? All right, thank you, you two. It's a beautiful job. Wonderful hand holding. So, can everybody say eyes up? Eyes up. This has been God's desire from the very beginning. It's been intimacy, being one with us, not just side by side living. So even when we look back in Genesis, God creates Adam, he forms him from the dust of the earth, and then what does he do? He breathes life into him. And the way to do that is he gets face to face. So Adam comes to life, you know, the dirt lives. He comes to life, and the first thing that he sees is God, face to face. And God is very intentional in all that he does. And so it could have been that the first thing he saw was like, wow, look at all this cool stuff that God created. But the first thing was the Father. Yeah. So he's like, I come first. This is the purpose. All of this other stuff is extra, and it's wonderful, and it's amazing, and we love the miracles, and we love the doing with the Lord and for the Lord. But the being is the goal. It's the most important part. So then he creates Eve. He takes Eve from Adam's rib and makes a hot smoking woman, all right? Makes a warrior, actually, for Adam. And when Adam sees her, he says, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And that actually translates into the same word that's used to describe God when it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's saying, Adam was saying, hey, we are one. We are in unity. It was a picture of God saying, hey, I want to be one with you. I want to be intimate with you. So this thread, this theme keeps flowing throughout. So then sin enters and disunity happens between us and the Lord, right? Through one man, sin enters the world. And there's disunity between us and God, and we begin to immediately see the unfolding of God longing for unity, for communion. Even after the sin, he's not like, where are you? You messed up. He's like, Adam, like I can hear when I'm reading, I hear like the longing in his heart of, oh no, like I want to be one. Where are you? What's going on? I don't like this distance. I don't know if for those of you who are married, or maybe even if you're not and I've had it happen with a best friend where you start getting all busy in life and then you're like, man, I feel super distant. Like I've like seen you, but I haven't seen you. I haven't spent time with you, you know? And so that is like God's heart cries. He's like, I don't want to just be side by side. Like I miss you. I long for you. I want to be with you. So he goes, and he's already had this plan because that intimacy was the reason why he made us in the first place. So he's like, we're getting that back. But before he sends Jesus, we can see that how he keeps like appearing, whether it's through a burning bush or it's on the mountaintop, or he says, hey, we're going to have an Ark of the Covenant and I'm going to dwell there. He keeps trying to be with us in every way that he can. But he's like, this isn't good enough. Side by side, just close enough. Like, no, I want to be intimate with you. So what does he do? He sends Jesus. Jesus comes and he takes our place, takes his sin on himself, and he punches sin and death in the face. He conquers it. The veil is torn, and now there's a way made for intimacy with the Father. Right? Which is a huge gift. But again, and I'm not just saying like, oh, I've had to check myself and repent many times for taking that for granted and stepping into just side by side living instead of going, wow, God, like you spilt your blood and took the weight of sin upon yourself, not just so I can be like, oh yeah, he's in my life, but so that I could be one with you. I could be intimate with you. I can know you and you can know me in a deeper way than anybody on this earth knows me. So I don't want to miss out on that. So he makes a way for us to be one, to not have to have separation anymore. But again, it's up to us to take that step and to pursue that intimacy with him. Psalms 27:8 says, I heard your voice in my heart say, come seek my face. Most of the time, God's not going to be like, come seek my face, you know, like where you're hearing him audibly. There's people who do. That's super cool. I'm really jealous. But most of the time, it's like, my mom calls it like a feather dropping in your heart. It's like a whisper, just a knowing in your heart where he's like, come away with me. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I've heard that. No, he's saying it to every single person that he's created. He's placed the desire and the need for him. So everyone has that stirring within you where God is saying, come seek my face. And my inner being, my spirit responds, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. So again, there has to be that response. He says, I'm holding on to your right hand. I'm not letting go. In Psalms, it says, where can I go from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go all the way down and make my bed in hell, you're there. There's nowhere that you can go where he is not. Even if you hate him and you want nothing to do with him, he's like, ha, sorry, I'm sticking with you. I'm here all the time because I love you. Just reminded of the movie Up where he's like, I was hiding under your porch because I love you. All right. So this is the way my brain works. So God is like, I'm here every morning and through the day and at night because I love you and I'm not going anywhere. But it's up to us to position ourselves to seek him, to actually receive all that he has for us. He also says when we seek him, we find him. And he wouldn't tell us that, right? That we could be face to face with him unless it was possible. He doesn't tease us. He's not manipulating. He's not narcissistic. He's not abusive. When he says, seek my face, seek me and you'll find me, he means it. But he also says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me, right? So I like the response, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. And that reminded me of the other day. He said it was okay if I share this story. PQ was at my house, and he was in need of a toothpick. I didn't have a toothpick, but I was like, well, I have some floss, and it has a little pick thing on the end. So you can go to my bathroom and look underneath my sink, and there should be a green bag in there. So he goes in, and of course, it's like rummaging through a woman's purse, you know? He's already feeling a little nervous, like looking in there, and I was like, you're not going to find anything. It's okay. Like, so he's like looking, and it's like, I looked enough, you know? So he comes out, and he's like, I didn't see it. So then I was like, hey, Josiah, hey, babe. All right, can you go and look to see if you can find it? I'm like, it's a green bag under the sink, right? You know? So he goes, looks, comes back, it's not there. And I was like, what? Where did I? Okay, so they leave, evening's done. I go in, I'm getting ready for bed, and I'm like, you know, I'm just curious. So I open it up. Bam, green bag, floss, right there, literally. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Jen. And I was like, this is funny. The both of them missed this. So so when we're seeking, and it says seek with all your heart, if you're like, well, I tried that once. Like, I kind of opened my Bible, and I didn't feel anything. Or I read it, and I, you know. Or I was like, God, here I am. I didn't hear anything back. You know, that's like, I didn't see it. No, seeking with all your heart is like, I'm going to take everything out of here until I find this green bag. Because he said that he's here. He promised me, and he's not a liar. So I'm going to seek. And a lot of times what it is it's not that he's hard to find. It's that we got a lot of this going on. And we got to be like, all right, okay, that thing, I'm laying that down. All right, I'm going to give that to you, and I'm going to give that to you. Oh, there you are. Seek him with your whole heart, and you will find him. He wants to be found by you. Which also brings us back to the beginning. When we're beholding him, then we are becoming more like him. It says, now we see him with unveiled faces. We get to go from glory to glory. So we're becoming more like him, and the enemy doesn't like that, right? All the way back in Genesis, we saw that he had issue because he wants to be God. So he takes issue that God made us in his image and is one with us. It's like, I don't like that. So I'm going to try to convince them that that's not the truth. So the enemy doesn't want us being one with God. So he does the same thing he did with Eve. He says, did he really say if you seek him? I mean, I know they find him, but you? Remember what you've done. Remember who you are, you know? Did God really say that he's a miracle worker? Did he really say that his promises are true? Did he really say that he's provider? I mean, I know that you've seen him provide for that other person, but you're a mess, you know? So he comes. Did God really say? He wants us to question who God is, what he said, and who we are to the Father. And sometimes in following Jesus, okay, because those questions will come, because the enemy also knows that in following Jesus, a lot of things that he's calling us to seem upside down. They don't make sense, right? Because they're supernatural. They're above the natural. It's like, I keep saying that the kingdom of God is, it's like an upside down world, an upside down kingdom, right? Because only the kingdom of God would be like, hey, surprise, you're adopting and you have barely any savings, but it's going to be like 40,000, buckle up. We're like, this is your idea? What are you doing, you know? And only an upside down God is like, hey, I know you've been fishing all day and night and toiling, but hey, throw your nets out on the other side. Like, that makes no sense. We know what we're doing, you know. They're like, we've been doing this. And he's like, go ahead. So they do. And then their nets are so full, they're breaking. And they need help from others to pull it in, right? Only in the kingdom do you have, hey, fill those vats with water. And I'm going to make wine out of them. Only in the kingdom do you have, hey, I'm going to spit on some mud and rub it in your eyes. And then you're going to be able to see. You know, only in the kingdom do you have, hey, even though you have sorrow, I'm going to crown you with joy. Only in the kingdom do you have where he's like, hey, you're dealing with that sickness. Go wash in the dirty Jordan and be cleansed. You know, it doesn't make sense most of the time. So if you're waiting for it to make sense to jump on board, you're going to be waiting a long time, right? It's faith. It's trusting in him. And he's like, it's great because that's the moment where I have you out of your element and out of control so that you can know that it was only by my hand. So you get none of the glory and I get all of it. And in those moments, it's really hard not to be like, God, are you sure? You know, are you sure you want me to wait? Because I feel a little crazy. I've said that. In this adoption journey, when we were waiting for the 5 years, and people were like, are you working with an agency you wanted to adopt? And God told me not to. Not because agencies are bad, but he, in being face-to-face with him, he was like, this is the way I'm going to lead you. And I was like, maybe we should do foster care. And he was like, nope. And I was like, maybe we should, nope. And I was like, okay. And so people would ask me questions about it, and I would say, I don't know. We're just waiting on him. I know he wants to do something. I feel crazy, you know? I'm not. It's him, you know? So you can feel crazy. And are you sure you want me to do this way? Did I really hear from you? And the question, are you still with me? Are you still here? The waves are crashing. Are you asleep in the boat? Should I nudge you, you know? Do you see what's going on? But he says to all of this, eyes up. Eyes on me. Don't look at what's happening. What they're doing, what they're not doing. What did I say? Trust me. Eyes on me. We're going to do this as one. This is the way that Jesus lived. John 5, 19 through 20. It says, Jesus said to the Jews, I can guarantee this truth. The Son cannot do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what the Father does. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. The Father will show him even greater things to do than these things, so that you will be amazed. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for his glory. We're following him and being intimate with him so that his glory can be revealed to us and through us to others. It's all about him. And if Jesus had to live this way of a face-to-face with the Lord all the time, every day, then how much more do we need to do that? And you're like, well, what do? Never come out of my prayer closet? Like, no. It just means that in every situation and throughout your day, again, you are turning towards him. You're positioning yourself. You can be in the grocery store and be like, hey, because Jesus goes to Walmart. Did you know that? And you could be like, hey, I know you're here because you're always with me. What are you saying right now? What are you doing? And it's really cool. He might tell you something about somebody that's in the aisle and tell you to say something to them or to pray for them or smile at them. Don't be, you know, yeah, sometimes he does ask you to do things that are uncomfortable. So I'm not going to say, don't be scared, you know. It's okay. Or walk with the Lord with trembling. What are we? But he's not going to have you be like a lunatic, okay? Right? Because we're a reflection of him, right? And he's not a lunatic. So we can turn and say, Jesus, I know you're here. You're right. You're here right now. So what are you saying? What are you doing? Or just in a moment, you could just say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you that you're with me. Right? Turning our hearts towards him means actually talking to him. That's prayer. It doesn't have to be like, thou art thou, Father. No, it's just however you would talk to someone that you wanted to be in relationship with, that is how you speak to him, like a friend. And you're like, I don't know if I would hear him. Well, the scripture says that the sheep know his voice. So if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, then yes, you do. You do know his voice. And when the enemy says, no, you don't, tell him to shut it. Because he's just so terrified about what's going to be birthed through you when you step into intimacy with the Father. So this is a huge gift that's offered to us, this kind of relationship. New life is birthed from intimacy. All of the things that we need, the desires that he's placed on our hearts, they all happen out of intimacy. The things that God wants to do in this region are going to be birthed out of intimacy with the Father. The things that God wants to do in the Anchor Church is birthed out of our intimacy with the Father. He does all the things. We just be with him and stay in tune with him. What are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you going? We're focused on you, and we know that you are handling the rest. He's like, you just focus on me? I've got all that. I've got all the other stuff. There was a time when just a lot of, like I said, there's so many things that were out of my control. It was a great time. So I was like, God, do you see this? Like, do you see where we're at with a fundraiser? Do you see, like, what's happening over here with Birth Mom? Do you see this? Do you see? You know? And I just felt so gently in my heart, Holy Spirit said, all these things. All these things. Can you say that? Just say, all these things. All these things. All these things. And I knew what he was talking about was Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, you can go back and read the whole thing, 25 through 34. Write it down for yourself. It'll be a good one for you to read. But God is saying through this, like, hey, if I'm taking care of the birds, if I care for even a blade of grass, you know, how much more am I going to care for you and your needs? I see them all. I see them all, and I'm for you, and I'm with you. So we're going to come down in this verse, and it says, The Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek. Their focus is on all of these things. But your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after first all of his kingdom and his righteousness and his way of doing and being right. And then, can you say all these things? All these things will be taken together and given to you. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Yay! sufficient for each day is its own trouble. So he's like, every day, focus on me, eyes on me, and I will take care of all these things. But God, do you see with this person all these things? But God, don't you see all these things? Come back and stay focused and in one and in unity with me, and I will handle the rest. The last scripture that we're going to look at today is in 2 Chronicles 20. This was one of those moments where I was opening up my Bible to go somewhere and so happened to land at this scripture. And this really spoke to me, and I want to read this over you today, because this is what happens when we get face to face with the Lord and we let him handle all these things, okay? So Jehoshaphat is king, and he's gotten word that there is a massive army that's coming against him. And so in verse 3, it says that he feared. He feared. He's human. He had the feelings, but he also set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. So what was his response? Seeking the Lord, even in the midst of the fear and the, what's going on? And Judah gathered together to ask to help from the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. Again, seeking him with all of their heart. And then he starts talking about who the Lord is. He's like, God, you're so great, and you brought us to this land, and you've done all these things. And he's not saying this to be like, do you remember who you are, to God, because he doesn't need reminding. He's saying that to remind himself. And that's what we have to do. Again, eyes up, locking on him, reminding ourselves of who God is. And so it says in verse 13, I like this, all of Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives, because when we're doing eyes focus on the Lord, it's not just about us, but we're bringing our families, and we're saying, this is how we live, focused on the Father. This is how we make it, right? And so a prophetic word comes, and it says, the Lord says this to you, and he says this to you today, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who was with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't go viewing into and focusing in on what's going wrong. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And you know what happens? They have a victory. They send out the worshipers, and when the worship goes out, the enemy gets all confused, and they kill each other, and the war is won. So if you're like, okay, things are crazy, things are going on, what do? You get face-to-face, focused with the Father. Your worship punches the enemy in the face, because he's not expecting that. He's expecting you to go, and you might do that for a minute, but you come back. And you get focused on the Father, and you go, I'm going to speak about who you are and scare the mess out of the enemy. I'm going to worship you because I know who you are. I know that you are a provider. I know that you are faithful. I know that you are a good father. So I'm locked eyes on you, even though there's all of this going on all around me. And I know that you will handle all these things as I seek first your kingdom. And I will watch as the battle will be won by your hand, so that you receive all of the glory. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week, and God bless.